All right, I have February the 4th at 10 a.m. This is the monthly Rancho Marietta Community Service District's Security Committee meeting. Obviously, we're on Zoom, so if people have questions, please raise your hand or chat to Amelia, and we will address it at that standpoint. So I've got all staff that is required here. So we'll call the meeting to order. First point of on the agenda is, are there any public comments of non-agendized items? Amelia, do you have any hands?
No hands.
Okay. Moving on to item number three. It is monthly updates, and we're going to start with operations.
Hello, this is Tina. Going down the line, basically, we still have additional PDF staff to support security gate and patrol. We have one that works patrol for us until we get our new officer onboarded. And then we have two people working the gate, but they're only working a couple days a week, and that's it. And we do still have continuing recruitment for gate and patrol officers. For the gate, the one person that we had given a conditional offer to did send me an email stating she found a different position that's better for her family. So now we have to interview applicants again for the gate officers. And I do have several applications. We just have to start calling people and interviewing them. Continuing working on outfitting the Ford Ranger. We have an appointment on February 17th for that to go to the items. And the body-worn cameras, we are setting up the tech side and the server. We just basically have to get the software downloaded to the computers, but the new cameras are deployed and they're working well.
Or site. I'll go down to that after.
Yeah. Okay. And down the line, reinstating the program for issuing county sites for parking handicap fire zone violations. We did have a meeting with Danny, but it was canceled due to the Sacramento County Sheriff's deputy that was killed in the line of duty. So they've been working on that, and we expect to meet with him next week or the week after. Policy review, do that later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then on the security services opinion poll proposals, we worked on that, and that will be an agenda item for the board of directors.
This is an item I'll discuss a little bit later in this meeting, Tina.
All right. And going down to the Rancho Marietta Association activity, we've done general calls for service, non-ARC enforcement, stop sign enforcement. We did one enforcement mission per week. There were other citations issued during regular patrol. Speed enforcement, we had three enforcement missions conducted each week, and there were citations issued on that. Marietta Village activity, village entry cameras. Again, it's still in process by Watchdog Security. We also did regular patrol out there in the village area. And the Rancho Marietta Commercial Owners Association activity. We're still in the installation process by Watchdog Security. We actually met with Olaf and discussed how the wires are to be ran, as well as the cameras and the view for those of for what it's going to cover. And we still do not have a meeting set up with the association south of the highway. We'll look at that again as well. we're working on that.
Tina, can I interrupt for a second? Going back to our discussions with the RMA, Tina and I met with the general manager of the RMA to begin doing some long-range planning about how we provide security within the boundaries of the RMA going through over the next few months. We want to try to respond to some of the major activities that created havoc for security over the summer with the golf cart enforcement and other types of enforcement. And it's a long drawn out process where notifications need to be made to the residents of the association. And so we just kind of laying the groundwork for going forward. So I want to be clear that we're working in concert with the general manager at the RMA and with the RMA administration. So it's critical to note that we're actively working on solving some of the problems as a partner with the RMA. That's all.
Any questions? Chats?
Yes. I think I saw one someplace.
I have a chat. Let's start with the chat and then I have a hand raised. I have a chat from Crystal Matter. Since the last discussion in December, has CSD had any additional periods where the district has had no patrol on duty?
Tom, do you want to answer that one?
Yes.
There was a period, I believe it was about 6 hours, when we did not have a patrol officer on duty. Could you go through that, Tina?
Yes, that was on January 21st. It was from about 9:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it's part of the incidents of note. Basically, the patrol sergeant responded to a report of suspicious activity. Looks like some guys were burglarizing one of the new homes. One of our patrol officers was on his way to work right at that specific time, and he got into an accident on Legacy. Was it Legacy? No, it was a different street, the street, one street over. Anyway, he was on his way to work, got into an accident, went to the hospital on his own accord. So we did not have anyone available from about 9:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. I put myself on call if there was anything that was needed. We did call PDF security and no one was available to backfill for us. I had already worked 12 hours and Rick had also already worked 12 hours, Sergeant Tompkins. So
very good.
And you did notify Sacramento Sheriff that
Yes.
We may need to call.
Yes.
And so the first, any call for service that was necessary, the Southgate dispatcher was instructed to call Tina directly, and then we'd go from there.
Very good. Thank you. Amelia, any hands?
I do have one hand up.
Sure.
Richard Gears, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. A couple of quick questions on those issuing county citations for parking, handicap, and fire zone violations. What kind of parking violations are you talking about there, and where are they?
That would be in the district areas, not in the RMA area. Okay. That would be like over at the Plaza, Bel Air area, commercial property, places like that.
Okay, so it's strictly commercial areas. It wouldn't be in Murrieta Village or anything like that?
Yeah, no, it would be, we're talking about in the commercial areas.
Okay, and a couple other quick questions. Village entry cameras, those are the ones that are actually on village property?
Richard, those are going to be on the light pole at the entrance of the village.
Okay, so they're going to be on Murrieta Drive out there?
That is correct.
Okay, and there's two of them?
They'll be in that little cluster. I believe there's a total of four cameras.
Okay, And the other two, okay, the other two will be looking up and down Murrieta Drive.
You got it.
Okay, that's my questions. Thank you.
Continue on, Tina, please.
No more questions, no more chats.
Okay, and next on our agenda is the incidents of note on January 12th. There was a water department encountered a pump failure at the North Lift Station. So our security patrol provided an escort for the water department to minimize any chance of sewage spill onto the roadways. January 13th, we responded to a report of a wild animal snap trap placed along one of the walking trails. However, when we got there, it looks like it had already been removed. We were not able to locate it. January 21st, back to that one of the burglary in progress. It's listed as a suspicious vehicle pulling a trailer. Basically, when Sergeant Tompkins got there, there was a truck and a trailer backed up to a garage of one of the new homes that was being built that was not yet occupied or anything like that. They were seen loading brand new cabinets into the trailer. One of the vehicles fled, the other one stayed, and the owner of that other vehicle that stayed, he stayed with it. He was actually very cooperative. And then a third subject fled, and it appeared that that vehicle picked up that third subject that was still inside the house. I was still here, so I went over there and responded to assist him as well. And then the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department came out and responded for the investigation on that. And then at the same time, there was that accident with one of our patrol officers who was on his way to work. We're not sure if it's related or not as far as the vehicle. The particular accident with the patrol officer was just a solo vehicle accident. He ran off the roadway, so. And then January 26th and 27th, monitored all of our calls for a 24-hour period and what we responded to due to the storm. So we responded to a total of 13 calls that were related to the storm. And most of that was just tree limbs blocking the roadways and down stop signs. The only other one was at Cantovan Murrieta Way, where a tree uprooted and fell on the OE3 building and brought down a power line. SMUD responded, but it did take them about 2 to 3 hours to respond to repair that. And then on January 31st, in the 7,000 block of Murrieta Parkway, there was actually a house fire. Patrol responded and assisted with that. And I do want to give kudos to one of our officers, our gate officer, David Labrato. He was able to research and locate a family member who actually lives in Rancho Murrieta as well to get her assistance because she was displaced from the fire. And she was an elderly woman. So he did a good job with that. Any questions or comments about that?
Nope. Continue on, please.
All right. And we have the total incident reports there that's listed, but next on it is the violation summary report that we received from RMA. As far as the
site. Are there, Tina, can we see if there's any questions about any particular ones of those incidents? People had asked us to publish our incidents as part of a regular meeting, so the long list of incidents throughout the month are going to be published at the security committee meeting right now. But we're only going to report the incidents and notes to the board meeting to not fill up the packet with paper. But are there any particular incidents in this list of about 60 pages or whatever that anybody has any questions about?
I have no hands raised, no chats.
Okay, thank you, Amelia. Moving on.
Okay, to the violation summary report, we issued 5 speeding tickets, 1 for use of streets. In regards to parking, there were a total of 17, and then the park hours curfew, a total of 8, and then working days and hours, 2 sites for those. Any questions on that?
No questions, no hands raised.
Next one is gate entries by type. If you want to take a look at this, we had a total of 12,212 entries between the north and south gates. Gate entries denied, we had a total of 52. Most of them are lookers, people that want to come into the community to take a look around. And then the other higher number is the vendors after hours. So if they try to come in at 6 a.m., we deny them entry. And then we have something new on this. We have our cases breakdown by type for the month of January, from January 1st to the 31st. And these are all the different types of calls that we responded to. We responded to a total of 267 calls, or I should say we have a total of 267 cases. Some of them we don't respond to when it's just a refused entry. Any questions, comments about that?
Tina, this is Tim. I like this report. I don't remember seeing this document before. And so I really like how this looks, because this gives us a quick snapshot of the entire district as opposed to just RMA from that standpoint. So I really do like how this looks. I think moving forward, we just might kind of tweak it a little bit, but at first glance, I think that this is really something that, and I mean, I'm just nauseated that this information's been here for years and we haven't tapped into it, that we're now getting it. So for that, thank you. But this one document, and Tom, this kind of goes to your point, you know, we've got the 60 pages or whatever of our logs. I think putting this into the security report will really give the other board members a very good snapshot of what the district's doing. So from that standpoint, Tina, thank you very much.
And it's just a matter of navigating the system to get these different reports and learning the system. So,
right. And again, I think it's going to be, as we understand this system that we've had for so long, and we're just now starting to tap into it, we'll probably fine tune some of these types of things to potentially what were the outcomes for the types of calls and those type things. But you and I can have, and staff can have that conversation offline, but you are spot on where we need to go and the information that needs to be provided, not only to the board members, but also the general public. This is a quick document that gives a snapshot of really what are we doing specifically just in this area. This doesn't include any of the contract services we do or those types of things. So thank you. We're light years ahead of where we've ever been.
You're welcome.
I have no chats and no hands up.
Okay. So I think that takes us through the monthly updates. And the next item I have on the agenda is item number 4, discussion of body-worn cameras, policy P2021-02. I believe this is going to stay with you, Tina.
Yes. So I reviewed the body-worn camera policy and basically revised it. I added some things to it. If you want to scroll up or down. Okay, so there's changes in red there. And when I reviewed the policy, I found that we needed to update some of the things in there as far as what our policy statement is, and to clarify things. One of the most important things is the body-worn cameras operate in a constant recording mode. So when an incident or citizen contact is made, the patrol officer is required to activate a recording upon contact, but in the meantime, it is always on. So with these body cameras is when they're on, it doesn't mean they're recording at that particular moment, they're just on. But when you activate it, what it does is it goes back 30 seconds in time. So you can see what was going on there as well, like driving to it, you know, things like that. And then I wanted to make sure that it is clear on there that they're required to place the body camera to their uniform at the beginning of each shift. It's turned on at all times. And then they have to return it to the docking station. And then if you can see that going. The docking station is in the security center. And then from there, they're downloaded. They're supposed to be downloaded automatically. And keep going down.
Okay.
Okay, and right there, I added in there that the device is to be affixed in a forward-facing manner. And it's just clarifying things that needed to be added to this. And obviously properly secured as recommended by the manufacturer to provide the best field of view. Because we want it, we don't want it on somebody's belt or anything like that. So obviously things need to be clear in there. Keep going down or up. Okay, and in this next part, it talks about personnel will not make copies or use other recording devices to capture images on the display screen for personal use or distribution. Streaming to personal cell phones or social media is not authorized, things like that. The reason why I did that is there's been officers and other agencies that have done that type of thing where they will upload it to their phones, they'll stream it to social media, and that's just not acceptable. And we just added a few other little things there just to clarify things. Review of data and video, this whole section I added in there. And this is for the evidentiary value for the district. And it, again, it's just clarifying who can access the system and the fact that it's right to know and need to know basis. Only employees authorized under the policy can review the video according to the provisions of the policy. And then it clarifies when an employee can review the body-worn camera when it relates to courtroom testimony, training purposes, involvement in an incident, et cetera. And then just other miscellaneous wording in there. Any questions on that?
This is Tom. I just want to comment. One of the first things Tina brought to us was a very professional viewpoint on how body-worn cameras have been used. I know law enforcement agencies have been using body-worn cameras for well over 10 years now, and it's becoming very common. And the process that the policy that we had in place was not nearly significant enough to make sure that the camera program itself is being used properly. And I think now we have, we've taken care of that with this revision to this policy. And I wanted to thank Tina for taking the time to go through it line by line and draw on her experience as a leader in a police department as to how we should be using these cameras. And I'm very happy that we've made this change that going forward, hopefully the board will approve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for that. Amelia, do you have any questions or chats or hands or anything so far?
I have a hand up. Are you prepared for comments?
Yeah, because we're going to go on to the final policy portion. So whoever's asking the question, please go ahead.
Yes. A few months ago, Sergeant Tompkins was at this meeting, and while he was talking, he mentioned something about reviewing body camera videos, and he mentioned something about deleting them. he actually deleted videos. I got the impression they were videos that were recorded mistakenly or something like that. And I'm wondering how this policy addresses that situation.
Tina, do you want to address that?
Yes, let me go to that section of it. It's under, there is information already under the media storage, retention, and destruction. That's at the end of the policy. We retain it for a minimum of 1 year, and that's per government code section 53160. After 1 year, if the data is not needed for evidence, training, and a pending disciplinary matter, criminal case, civil lawsuit, claim or other proceeding, other investigator for law enforcement purpose, or a pending citizen complaint, the GM is authorized to destroy and erase data. So that is addressed in our policy.
Okay, so the situation where he was talking about was he was reviewing videos from something like the previous week or the previous day, and you know, he saw these ones that apparently he decided that he shouldn't be saved. So in the future, that won't happen again?
No, it shouldn't. And under the section 3 of that, it says recorded data from body-worn camera systems shall not be destroyed or erased without the general manager's approval. So that does require approval for that.
Okay. And okay. Because that was your action I had at the time. I said that they shouldn't be deleted. So, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Continue on, Tina. I think that takes us, excuse me, to the final product.
Yes.
Yeah. So what we're looking for is a recommendation to take this forward to the board for formal approval at the February 17th regular board meeting.
I understand that. A couple of thoughts jump out at me. One, the flavor of this document is really completely different. You can see the professionalism has been brought forward into it. Just for re-edification for you, Tina, being a little bit newer here, the real intent of this is A, to catch our employees and residents doing something right, and being able to then improve on our level of service. The other is truly that it is a training tool for all staff moving forward. And so the document captures those two things, I think, very well. So obviously there's no hesitation from my standpoint, moving this forward. So I would say to the general manager, let's place this on the agenda as an action item for adoption and immediate implementation of policy P2021-02.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And yes. If I may say something real quick, and yes, in all the years of reviewing body-worn camera, for example, citizen complaints, most of the time, 95% of the time, it would exonerate the officer. So it would catch officers doing things right.
Exactly. And that's that part that, excuse me, as we try and bring a different, I'll just leave it at flavor of how the organization is moving forward and maturing forward. This really sets that foundation for us, because I want everything captured. The residents want everything captured on video, and then we can figure out from there. And if it's a system issue, then we address it accordingly. If it's an individual issue, then we address it from that manner. But this is that information that we can improve upon ourselves in any type of continuous quality improvement process. And we just haven't had it. So to that end, thank you. I have no idea how the other board members will feel, but I know that just the flavor of how this document is now written sets a very good foundation and expectation for policies that need to be updated or new policies that just need to be written. So for that, thank you. That includes item number four. Tom, I believe this is going to be back to you on item five on the security opinion poll.
Yes, that's mine. And this is informational for the security committee because the security opinion poll is a finance committee item. And because it deals so much with the financial part of how we fund security and the drain on the property taxes that security has become over the last few years. But I just want to let you know, we've initiated a contract agreement with a company called True North. And once that contract is in place, we will go back to the source document and revise the schedule because there's been somewhat of a delay for various reasons of about a month from when we initially thought we would be moving forward with this poll. So there'll be plenty of information coming forward once the contract is completed, and that will come to the board on the 17th of February for approval. And so That's informational. I could answer a few questions, but until we are completely settled on the schedule, which includes some very detailed discussions on what the opinion poll results are going to look like as far as what the questions are going to be, and then they're going to go off and do their work, and then they'll come back with their results. But I'm very happy that True North was selected according to the owner of the company. With this recent run of elections, that all of their initiatives were that they recommended to go forward were passed, and they were within 2 or 3 percentage points of what their predictions were based upon their poll. So that's encouraging, and the big question is soon to be answered, and that is what is the appetite for the district residents as to how much they think they want to pay for the security and what security will look like going forward. So I'm very happy to say we're taking the next step. So that's very, that report.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. And I'm sorry, because I'm just not up to speed on this. What was the name of the company that was selected?
It's called True North.
Okay. And then because it is a finance issue, then and finance committee moved it forward for an action item. So obviously that'll be on the agenda as well. Then with any RFP, you'll go into a negotiation process. So I would assume somewhere on or about or just after board action, we should have a contract in place with the company then?
That is correct.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, once the board approves the contract for me to sign it, then I'll sign it, and then we'll finalize the schedules and move forward.
Okay, and I think that's where the coordination of the process, and again, it's a finance issue. It's not a operational issue by any means. You're going to have to work back through the finance committee on just what are those templates look like, what are the costs, at this current level, et cetera, so that we're able to be consistent in the verbiage. So very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's item number five. Item number six, any staff comments that aren't on the agenda?
I'm good.
Tina, do you have anything?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. I've got a couple. You already answered my question, and it was a note that I put down is, and it's probably even more system-wide, and maybe it even goes back to, I think, the improvements committee on just what is our staffing levels when we have high-risk weather events, et cetera, and so Tina addressed some of the stuff that was done, so I don't know, Tom, if you're comfortable on how our staffing level is on some of these events, or if we need to formalize that you know, that's some discussion to have somewhere down the road, but you can see some of our activity, even though we're not necessarily the ones to mitigate it by any means, but we can at least identify the hazards, i.e. limbs down in the streets, et cetera, and then working back with either of the agencies that are required to get that cleaned up. So you kind of answered some of my questions there. The other question I have, and I think it's to you, Tina, I know that we're re-engaging with the Marietta Homeowners Association on getting back into the compliance committee. I believe it's monthly. It's just been a while since I've been involved with it. And I guess my question to you, and I don't need an answer now, but just how does that look? How much time is that going to take? Are we on the same page getting them the information, just those types of things? And I don't need the answer now. Maybe at the board, just give an update on what you think it's going to require of us, if anything, or just some thoughts on that, because it's been a while since there was anything really productive coming from CSD towards that direction. And obviously you and Tom have started building that bridge. So I just want to make sure to let the other board members know if we need to do something resource wise, or if you need something different, that we're getting it so we can meet our partners in trying to get this back on track to where it was several years ago. So other than that, that's the only comments I have. Amelia, do you have any hands or chats or anything?
No hands, no chats.
Perfect.
I do have a comment. This is Tina.
Yes, ma'am.
So the night of that big storm, I did authorize a few hours of overtime. So we did have two patrol officers working to deal with all of the calls that we had. So on that note, that's, you know, case by case basis. But one of the officers had asked for that, and I authorized that because I knew there were going to be a lot of calls with limbs down, stop signs down, and just responding to anything that could come up.
Brilliant. And thank you. And in this case, I will speak on behalf of all the board members, and they'll echo it. That's the type of professionalism that we need. And the consistency that is just what the district's about. And us taking those steps and doing those things, I know, and I'll speak specifically for myself, the general manager has made numerous of those types of decisions for the betterment of the community and informed board members later, and we've been spot on. So as it's working its way down to the other leadership issues in the organization, all I can say from a very personal standpoint and professional standpoint, thank you. This is what I've been looking for, and it doesn't go unnoticed. So Tina, to you, thank you. Tom, thank you for getting us in a direction from where you inherited something that's different than what we're doing today. So,
I do have two comments, if I may.
You may.
Crystal Matters says, thank you, Tina. Jim Croder says, yes, job well done, Tina.
Thank you.
Okay, so I don't know if we're voting for, you know, the best person here. if I knew what the chat was or how to operate it, you know, I'm not saying I'd vote for myself. I think I'm digressing. Tina, I think just having a couple people make comments like that tells you and tells me the organization is going in a direction that we absolutely need to go. So again, I just can't say thank you enough, and it's well appreciated. With that, I have nothing else. Amelia, if you don't have anything else, I'm going to move to item number 7. Adjourn this with the body camera policy being moved forward to a action item for the regular board meeting.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.